As I sat there and I listened to our discussion, the amazing thing is everybody was right. But everybody was wrong. See, you can be right and be wrong. Nobody said anything that wasn't true. There's an old Indian story about three blind men that were called up to the palace to describe an elephant. And they went up to the elephant, and one of them got a hold of his leg, and he said, "An elephant's like a tree." And the other one was around on the trunk of the elephant. He said, "No, an elephant's like a snake." And the other one, he was holding on to the side of the elephant. He said, "No," he said, "an elephant is like a rough stone." And ultimately, they got mad with each other and got in a fight because each one of them was convinced. He knew exactly what he was talking about, and each one of them did. But they didn't see that they could only see in part and not the whole. Now, when we get thinking that we see everything, that's when we're in bad trouble. Whether on the one hand or whether on the other. Now, all of us are prisoners of our own experience. I can't see things from your viewpoint, and you can't see things from mine because of the fact that every one of us has been given a different perspective. Now, the truth of the thing is that none of us are absolutely right and none of us are absolutely wrong. Necessarily. Now, there is right and there is wrong. There is truth and there's that which is not truth. And we hadn't been called into the world to correct all the world's errors because we wouldn't be made very much progress. But those who are called to preach the gospel don't have any choice about what they're going to preach. They're going to preach what they've been shown to preach. And if we believe that the Scripture is true, then that's not a varied message if there's one gospel, which I believe there is one gospel. Now, because I believe a certain thing doesn't make it the gospel. The gospel, the truth of what I say or any man else, other man says, has to be borne out by what's in this book. Now, the only perspective that I can have of that is the perspective that I've been given of it. Now, for me to stand and say that everybody has to see things like I say, see it, would be presumptuous, to say the least. Because who am I to say whatever? And this matter of believing is strictly a matter of God in His mercy showing a man the truth. And all we can say that we believe the truth is what we've been shown that it is. Now, because we hold a certain view doesn't make it the truth. The truth's the truth. And it is quite presumptuous when men say that there's no other way that a man can view a certain thing but my way. Men can view things all sorts of ways. There's 100 different views. You can go down to a bookstore and find 100 different viewpoints about what the Scripture says. There's thousands of different churches and all kinds of stuff. There's people that tell you, buddy, you can know today you're going to heaven by just doing a certain thing, and buddy, you're in. There are those that say that. There are those that go to the other perspective and say, you can't ever know. Now, one man saying it and one man not saying it doesn't make it true or doesn't make it wrong. But there's one Lord, one faith, one baptism. He is the one that's true. And I can't preach to you anything but what I believe to be the truth. Now, it's upon, you see, here's what faith is. Faith is, of course, we know it's the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Now, it is a true thing that when a man first comes to faith, he doesn't know whose faith it is. All he knows is what the Lord showed him. And true, I mean, he's calling out to the Lord. I mean, I wasn't, when the Lord began to operate in me to stir me up to seek after him, I didn't know if it was me or somebody else or whatever. I didn't care. All I wanted to know was that I had a Savior. I'm still there. I ain't got there yet. I know who the Savior is. And it becomes more clear to me day by day the extent that He has saved His people to. And from time to time, I have sweet contemplations that I am indeed a part of that number. And what a glorious thing it is, dear brethren, to walk in the assurance of faith. What a sweet thing. But oh, sometimes when I awake and my beloved is gone, as Solomon said in the Song of Solomon, and I look for him and I can't find him. And I say to the daughters of Zion, I say, will you tell me where my beloved is gone? And you see, that's why we preach the gospel, dear brethren. It's because it is a sweet message to those who are seeking a Savior. Now, I believe that the people of God can know they are the children of God. I just am not totally convinced that they can know it every hour of the day. And I think that a man that just knows it every hour of the day may be convinced that what he has is something that he doesn't have. Now, I don't know that. All I can tell you is from my own perspective. I can tell you that I want a Savior. I can tell you that, I can't show you any proof of this, but I believe it's a true thing that I want that more than anything else in all the world. That nothing else really matters to me beyond that. Everything else is secondary. Now, for me to stand here and tell you that I know my name's written in heaven would be a bit presumptuous, I believe. I just don't believe it, that a man can absolutely say that every hour of the day. Now, there's times, dear brethren, oh, when the sweetness of God is pleased to show me the clarity of the gospel, that I believe I can stay and say, my name's written. Though I hadn't seen it with these eyes, I believe it's there. And it is a sweet and a blessed thing, but I can't tell you that tomorrow I'll be in the same shape. Because you see, the operation of the Holy Ghost is not a linear thing. It's not a thing where a man gets something. This is the whole problem, I believe, that confuses and clouds the minds of men, is the concept of getting saved. Now, the children of God, on the one hand, ain't ever been lost. I mean, the Lord's known right where we were from the beginning. If we're His, we've belonged to Him since then. But He has subjected us unto vanity. And He has willingly lost us for the purpose that He might redeem us, that He might demonstrate the glory of His grace. What a sweet thing it is. Because you see, we'd have never had any understanding of what it is to be saved if we had not been lost. And so on the one hand, there's no way that a man gets saved. I know that's a common thing. In the last 100 years, it is, in the last 200 years actually, that has become just a thing that it's just kind of like people just think of, well, he got saved. Well, dear brethren, our life from the moment that we are born till we die, if we are the Lord's, is a testament and an operation of the salvation of God demonstrated in our lives. And so there's no time when a man, on the one hand, can say, I got saved. Now, I believe there is a time, and more clear in the eyes of some than others, when they can say, the Lord opened my eyes to see what I was. And He brought me to a place that I called upon His name, maybe for the first time. But you see, the operation of salvation is a work that begins when your eyes opened as coming out of your mother's womb and you took your first breath. The operation of your salvation began. Now, we know it began before that, but I'm talking about in our existence. The work of your salvation began then, and it will be culminated in the day when the Lord calls from heaven to His own, and He brings us out of the ground if we belong to Him. That, Paul said, now is our salvation nearer what than when we first believed. So, with the mouth, confession is made unto what? Salvation. But that's not, we don't get saved by confessing Christ. If you want to say we get saved because Christ died on Calvary's cross. But we do, by the grace of God, are brought into a place where we see Christ through a glass darkly. And in His own time, He's pleased to open our understanding and show us who Christ is. And that's His work from the beginning to the end, before we ever knew about it. I mean, before we ever embraced it, before we were ever given the first glimpses of it and the sweetness of it ever filled our soul for the first time, all the things that brought us to that place were already in motion. So when did our salvation begin? It began when the Lord was pleased to bring us forth from our mother's womb. Paul said, when it pleased God. When it pleased God. He opened my eyes. And He showed me Christ. And he said, I believed. And he confessed that he was saved. But then he went on to say, as I quoted that a minute ago, my salvation is nearer than when I first believed. Well, wait a minute, I thought you were saved back there. Salvation is not an event, dear brethren. Salvation is the work of God. And so it's not about who did and what did and who did, said this and said that or didn't do this or didn't do that. It's the work of God from beginning to end. Now, what we're called to do when we preach the gospel is to make sure this is what the preaching of the gospel is. It's the gospel of the glory of the blessed God. Now, the preaching of the true gospel is always going to contain and is going to be centered in the glory of God revealed in Jesus Christ. That's what the gospel is. It's not about men. Now, I've heard men preach the gospel and then deny everything they said at the end because they make it about men. Now, did they not preach the gospel? I can't say they didn't preach the gospel. I can say that they wasted their time from the standpoint of what they did when they try to make it about men. It's not about men. It's about the glory of God. I mean, brethren, we're just part of a big tapestry that's woven together, that's put on display for one purpose, and that is to bring glory to the blessed God, that in ages to come we might show forth His praise. Oh, that the Lord would teach us where we're at, what we are. We're not much. Now, do we need to be zealous for the truth? If we believe that this is about the glory of God, we need to be zealous for the truth. Do we need to be zealous for the truth in kindness? Absolutely. Why? Because God's people are called to be kind people. That's why. Should it grieve our heart when men preach something that's not true? If we desire the glory of God in Jesus Christ be manifest, yes, it should. I mean, it ought to grip us and grieve us at the very depths of our soul when we hear somebody tell somebody a lie. Do we need to attack them? I don't believe so. We just need to tell the truth. Call a spade, what it is what it is. And, it's just like in the Grace Gazette this week. Now, some people might read the Grace Gazette and they might say, well, you said some pretty hard things. Well, I may have, but I'll tell you this. I believe what I said was true. Now, is it true? Do you really know what's true? No, none of us know what's true. But we have faith by the gift of God that what we're saying is true. And that's where our hope is cast. Is Jesus Christ the Savior of sinners? I mean, do I know that in some empirical way that I could prove it to you? No. I'd have to say I don't, because by faith, isn't it? But I'll tell you this, I've cast all my care upon Him. I believe it so much so that I've cast off all care in anything else. So may the Lord give us grace, primarily as brethren in the Lord, to understand that we don't always see things alike. It's impossible that every man should see things in the same fashion, because we're all different ages. We've all seen a lot of different things in our life. We've all been brought various places. I mean, some's been brought through Southern Baptist Soul Salvation Mills, and some's been brought through the Pentecostals, and some's been brought through nothing. But it's all been, whatever it's been, for the purpose of bringing us to the place where we are now. Now, see, that's the place where we are now. You can't change the past. You don't know what's going to happen in the future. But you know where you are now. And we do know that the Lord called us to love one another with a pure heart fervently. To esteem one another above ourselves, even if I don't agree with you. I might not ever agree with you. But I can love you by the grace of God. I don't have any choice. May the Lord help us and show us His truth. And teach us that the truth is not found in a doctrine book somewhere. As much as we might like to say that it would be, the truth is found in the truth. And the Lord is not interested in sacrifice, but obedience. And may He give us grace that we might walk in obedience to His Word, to be a faithful people and to love one another with a pure heart.